Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, we can do this. We can start another work week. We got this. It's actually kind of strange. It's strange because we've got a super early Labor Day this year, and I now feel like we can see the end of the summer, and I don't know how I feel about it. I'm torn. I'm excited about what is to come in the fall with sports because I love this time of the year. College football about to get underway. NFL not far behind. October is literally the busiest month of the year in sports when all four of the major pro team sports are in session. You can throw soccer in there and golf too if you want. But we've got baseball postseason and a lot of storylines we've been tracking for the last couple months. So there's a lot to look forward to. But at the same time, after going to the beach on Saturday, I think I don't really want summer to be gone yet. It was fun. I hope you had a good summer weekend. I know a lot of you shared your plans with us on our Facebook page. If you haven't seen my beach pictures, these are from early in the morning. So it warmed up. Oh, gosh, it was so hot. Humid. It was really humid. And it got nice and sunny. But when we first got there, it was gray, pretty shades of gray. And I enjoyed taking some pictures of a deserted beach and the pretty shades of gray. So you can check those out on Twitter, A-Law Radio. On Friday, this actually left me very little time for sleep. Since we got up early to leave for the beach on Saturday morning, wanted to beat traffic and get there before anybody else got there. But late on Friday night, I was making my way home from Yankees-Indians. It was so cool to be at Yankee Stadium for a game between two of the top teams in Major League Baseball, and it was tense. So unlike the Thursday series opener between the Indians and the Yankees in the Bronx, that was, remember, 7-0 Indians when they got to the bottom of the first inning, a 19-5 finish. This was a game that was really tense. There were a couple of runs early for the Yankees, and then it was about the pitching moves. There was a bases loaded, nobody out situation for New York, and Terry Francona used multiple relievers, last one being Tyler Clipper, to get out of that situation and not give up any runs. So it came down to Aroldis Chapman, top of the ninth, and a strikeout to get the Yankees the win, and the place went nutso, of course. I happened to be recording, so I was in the 200 level directly behind home plate. Really good seats. I appreciate the Yankees for giving me a great spot in the press box. But it's an open-air press box, which I love. You can see and hear everything from there. And so I happened to be recording on my phone the first pitch of Aroldis Chapman to the final batter, and I did post it. So if you haven't seen my photos or the video, we'll check out my Twitter page, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, I posted some photos as well. So I really enjoyed it. I called it my scouting for October because there's a real good chance both these teams are going to be playing into the month of October, which sets us up perfectly for what happened on Sunday in Major League Baseball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Let's start with Indians-Yankees because it was the wrap-up to their four-game series on Sunday. And it was also the return of CC Sabathia. Now, you know, he's been in and out of the lineup, looking for his first win since late June. We know this is his last season. They're being careful with him, various aches and pains. He's just an older guy with a lot of wear and tear. And the Indians were happy to see him.
A swing and a long drive. Deep right center field. Gone! Mike Freeman! A three-run bomb to right center. Karnak the Magnificent. And the Indians have a 4-0 lead.
The Indians able to build on that. In fact, Mike Clevenger fanned 10 Yankees, and the Indians double up the Yanks in the Bronx to grab the four-game split, the series split. So Sabathia did not get the win. In fact, he only lasted three innings, gave up four runs on four hits. And it was a really hot and humid day in the Bronx, and the whole area is hot and humid. And so you can understand why he might have worn out a little earlier. But Clevenger was great. He only went through five innings, but he didn't allow a run and struck out 10, as I mentioned, throwing 104 pitches in five innings. So he really had to labor. Both these lineups put incredible stress on pitchers. And then from that point on, Terry Francona had to kind of navigate his bullpen to make sure they could preserve that victory. Neat, though, as you hear with Mike Freeman, who had the home run, that's Tom Hamilton on the Indians radio network. He actually didn't find out until Saturday night that he was going to start Sunday in place of Jose Ramirez. And so he ends up getting into the lineup on Sunday at Yankee Stadium, and he takes an opportunity to just kind of soak it all in. Actually took a walk out to Monument Park and enjoyed the history that is there at Yankee Stadium. And he's a guy that you can root for, regardless of your rooting interest. He's one of those perennial underdogs, so to speak. A guy who has spent the majority of his 10-year pro baseball career in the minors. And he's bounced around five different organizations, gets called up, gets sent down, gets called up, gets waived, gets called up, signs up with a different team. I mean, it's been a roller coaster ride for him, but he obviously loves baseball. And what a moment for him to be able to not just hit the three-run home run, but also a couple of doubles there at Yankee Stadium on Sunday.
You know, to play at Yankee Stadium is special. Went out to Monument Park before the game and to see all the history here. You know, it's a new stadium, but a lot of history in the Monument Park, and people to play in Yankee Stadium, it makes a day like today, make all the years pay off.
And so that's really neat. Neat for Mike Freeman, great for the Indians. If you haven't seen the latest battle in the standings, it's tighter than tight. Now the Indians, because they split this series with the Yankees, lost a little bit of ground to the Twins, who've won four in a row. So the Twins are trying to do their best to make sure the Indians are vying for a wild card. And this is kind of where the newer, it's not brand new, 8 years old now, the two wild card format in Major League Baseball. But this is where winning your division becomes so paramount, because you avoid that one game wild card, which I love. If I'm not mistaken, the wild cards are the first 2 days of October, literally boom, October 1st and October 2nd, right off the top. You've got games that bring such incredible intensity. You win and you play into a division series. You lose, and that's the end. But in addition to the whole one-game drama, you've got two teams then who are burning, or two winning teams from the wild card games, who are burning their best starting pitcher before they go into the division series, which is, of course, a shorter series. And pitching is so important. And so the Twins are attempting to win this series, or to win this division, because they don't want to have to land in that wild card slot. They took their series with Texas over the weekend. So the Indians battling a really difficult opponent in the Yankees. And even though the Yankees lost on Sunday, they now possess the best record in Major League Baseball. I told you this at the end of last week. Actually, I told random guy on the train on Friday night as well. He was talking about the Yankees, and he was reading his wife some of the standings and telling her about the Dodgers and about the Astros. And so I popped up with my piece of trivia. Did you know it's the first time in a decade that the Yankees have had a record that puts them 40 games above 500? He said, really? Well, that's really interesting. You know, you're welcome. Glad I could help. Anyway, so because the Yankees were able to split that series with the Indians, and the Dodgers have dropped back-to-back games to the Braves, Yankees now have 83 wins, the Dodgers with 82. plenty of drama and fireworks for the Atlanta Braves on Sunday as well. Now, we did get home run number 42 for Cody Bellinger. Man, it was nearly an incredible catch by Ronald Acuna. Boy, did he have a day on Sunday. So this was in the first inning, I believe. I was watching the game, and I remember what inning it was. I'm pretty sure it was the first. And Bellinger hits this ball. He thinks it's way out, but Acuna leaps up, has his arm, half his arm and his glove over the wall behind him, gets a handle on the ball, but can't get the glove closed quickly enough, and the ball bounces, of course, that just the carom, bounces off his glove, and then topples over the wall, or, you know, topples down the other side. And so Bellinger ends up with the three-run home run, number 42, and Acuna was ticked. He was mad at himself because he was sure he had the out. And so it was an early lead for the Dodgers. And then you had Acuna hitting a ball really hard. And instead of running, he kind of stood there and watched it. And so his manager, Brian Snitker, pulls him out of the game, essentially benches him, sends him to the showers early. You got to appreciate the moxie of a manager who doesn't care about your value on the field if you aren't going to play hard, run hard, give it 110%, and also set a tone for the other guys in the lineup. And so Snitker explaining himself after the game.
It's not going to be acceptable here. I mean, as a teammate, you're responsible for 24 other guys. And that name on the front is a lot more important than the name on the back of that jersey. And you can't do that. We're trying to accomplish something and do something special here. And personal things got to be put in the back burner. You know, you can't let your team down like that.
So Acuna pulled in the fifth inning because he did not run out a drive to right field. I think that happened earlier in the game. It happened in the third inning maybe, and he got pulled in the fifth. And it ended up being a long single. Could have been a double, and Snitker wasn't having it. And so he pulls his star lead off, and the guy who goes in for him, oh, well, it's Rafael Ortega.
Fly ball, crushed to right, back toward the wall, got a chance to go, it's gone! The grandest of all home runs, Rafael Ortega. Made deep with a sack full, and the Braves vault in front.
That is a huge moment for the Braves because they were down early. Ortega didn't go in for Acuna. I don't know why I said that. He was stepping up in place of the star, who is Acuna. How about that? Takes his place as the star. That's what I meant to say. And he ends up with a huge blast, and the Dodgers that aren't able to mount any kind of a comeback. This was another strong start for Tony Gonsolin. He ends up going four innings. He only allows one run, but it was the bullpen that failed the Dodgers again. So the Braves able to jump on the bullpen and get that victory. And it's a good thing they did because the Nationals are coming hard. It wasn't so long ago that the NL East was not a race. There was a comfortable lead for the Braves. But the Nationals continue to get hot. They continue to pound the snot out of the ball. The Phillies, too. They'd kind of rediscovered their offense in recent weeks. I think it's Charlie Emanuel and his influence as the new hitting coach. But with the Nationals staying hot, the Braves can't afford to give up a whole lot of ground. So they still have a 5.5 game lead in that division. And the Dodgers have dropped two in a row. I don't know if there's Dodgers fans who are panicking, but I feel like it's a good idea for them to have a little pressure, a little adversity. Otherwise, they could end up like the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, their magic number is inside of 20. It's mid-August, and their magic number is inside of 20. And so to have a little adversity and not have everything go exactly the way they want it all the time, that's actually better for the Dodgers. Better for them than if they are able to shift into cruise control the rest of the way. So I think the bullpen angst will keep them on their toes a little bit for sure. And so Dodgers-Braves, good weekend series. Yankees-Indians, a really good weekend series. We've got some other baseball history coming from the Astros as well as the Mets. You know I love the history. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Heavens, you all are still not done talking about the Antonio Brown situation. Neither am I, so we're in the same boat there, heading out to the old island. Maybe that's where we'll find AB. But we've asked you to take our poll about the Antonio Brown drama. Is it real or contrived? And then on Facebook, you're sending me all kinds of comments. Pittsburgh Steelers fans are loving this, that it's someone else, not them.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Way back and long gone, Pete Alonso becomes just the fourth Met ever to have a 40 home run season. He's the first National League rookie to ever do it. And now that Met single season franchise home run record is just two away from belonging to Alonso outright.
The switch has been on. During that past run that we had, I mean, we know what time of the season it is. I mean, it's time to go. So, we just need to keep trying to play quality baseball and win games. It's simple as that.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Pete Alonso's magical rookie campaign continues. Of course, he won the home run derby, and there was a bit of a lull coming out of the All-Star break, but he is back in go mode, as you hear him say. His 40th home run sets a brand new National League rookie record, breaking the record set by Cody Bellinger a few years ago. And the call with Wayne Randazzo on the Mets radio network, sufficiently dramatic. I loved it. They definitely have a sense of the history with this young player. So he now has 40 home runs. Mike Trout and Christian Yelich each have 41 homers. And then Bellinger hit his 42nd on Sunday. So it's turning into quite the race. There are other guys who are around, who are hanging around. Jorge Soler of the Royals has 35, as does Ronald Acuna with the Braves. And so you've got a group of guys that are pounding the baseball at quite a rate, even in 2019. But it could end up being one of those four who has the home run title for this particular season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. One more piece of history on Sunday. Really neat for Zach Greinke and the Houston Astros. He hasn't been with Houston for very long, but he picks up his 200th win. And in doing so, strikes out six, allows just one run on four hits, goes seven innings. And for the Houston Astros, it's a little quiet right now because they're not getting pushed atop their division. Right now, the Oakland A's are challenging for a wild card more than they are challenging for the AL West. But I think this suits the Astros. They're just shy of 80 wins, so maybe flying under the radar a little bit because of all the attention to the Yankees and the Dodgers and some of the other tight races. It's fine for the 2017 champs. Just kind of ride their way underneath that crazy level of expectation. Do their thing. Make sure they're set up and playing their best baseball. They're healthy and they're ready to go. I love the experience that team has. Same thing applies to the Dodgers when it comes to the big stages. You got to love that experience. It will serve them well in late September and October. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to Owen, who's in Massachusetts. Welcome to After Hours. Owen? Let's talk to Timothy, who's in Portland. Portland, Oregon, or Portland, Maine, Timothy?
Portland, Oregon.
All right, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Amy. You know, I couldn't believe what I was hearing when I heard about Antonio Brown. They say that you play for the name on the front and not the back, and I feel that Antonio Brown is really just creating a distraction that doesn't need to be there, especially with this Oakland Raiders team that is trying to make a statement this year and rebuild their franchise and really go after a competitive chance to make the make a championship run. And this guy is coming in brand new to the organization. He's really letting his teammates down and the coaching staff. These guys are working so hard as a team and collective unit to try to make a push. And this guy is really being a distraction. I just don't get what his mindset is.
Well, I think his mindset is about him and not about the team, unfortunately. And I don't know that that's a relatively new development either. I mean, with the Pittsburgh Steelers, week 17 last year, he was ticked off about whatever it was, whether it was Juju Smith-Schuster getting team MVP, as some talked about, whether it was Ben Roethlisberger calling him out, whatever the reason that he was upset, maybe he wasn't getting the ball enough or didn't like the offense, who knows? But he took himself out of the equation week 17 until he was darn good and ready to play, and then sent his agent to Coach Tomlin to say, hey, my guy's ready. This was Sunday morning, and Coach Tomlin said, that's not how we do things around here. So it's not like it's a recent development. It's just unfortunate because it's so early with the Raiders. They haven't even played a game yet with him on the roster, and he's barely been with them during camp. And here they are canceling their Monday practice. Sunday was the last practice of camp, and yet he's not there. He doesn't show up, and they don't know where he is, and they're tired of having to cover for him.
Well, definitely. I think they definitely need to sit down with this guy and his agent, say, look, this is not going to be tolerated, and we really need to get on the same page of what you want from us, and this is what we expect from you, and where does the future hold for our relationship?
I don't know that they haven't done that, Timothy. The fact that Mike Mayock made his public statement leads me to believe that they have had conversations with him, and that right now this is kind of the public ultimatum because enough is enough.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's not about Antonio Brown at this point. It's about the rest of this organization as a whole. And they need to do what's best for that organization and not just one player.
That's very true. Very true. They would love to have him. In fact, they went out on a limb for him because they felt like he could really help their quarterback, spark their offense. He's extremely talented. But at some point, it becomes more trouble than it's worth. And I hope they haven't reached that point yet. I hope Brown understands that this is serious and that his team is waiting on him, especially now that he's been physically cleared to play.
Well, he definitely needs to be very humble, not only as an athlete, but a teammate. And I know that's probably not in his makeup, but I've learned early on in my life that, you know, sometimes you got to swallow your pride and humble yourself. And I know these guys make lots of money, but bottom line is they play a game because they love it. And the rest of these guys on his team love it too. They would love to have him there, but it's not worth one guy to sacrifice the rest of the team.
Mr. Big Chest Brown, I don't know how much humility there is in that. But I appreciate your phone call, Tim. Thanks so much for listening in Portland.
Thank you, Amy.
855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. 855-212-4227. Or you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. There were some big-time injury news and notes over the weekend from both football and baseball, so we'll get to some of those. Also, could we have a different backup to Drew Brees than what we originally expected to start these round of training camps? So lots of good stuff still ahead. And of course, we're asking you about your fantasy football teams. Who do you think you'll take in your first round, whether it's running back, whether it's wide receiver? I don't actually know where we pick yet. Our draft is 8 days away, although it could be because I haven't logged into the system to look. That kind of stuff seems to be posted in our, I don't know, in our chat room somewhere. And I haven't looked yet. So maybe I do know when I'm drafting, but I don't know when I'm drafting, if you know what I mean. All right. So on Twitter or on Facebook, and then our phone number too. Thanks so much for tuning in to our first show of the work week, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And the 1-2. Struck him out swinging. Fastball up. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I did not hear the call on the radio Friday when I was at Yankee Stadium, but I do know the atmosphere and the energy were amazing for this great series between the Indians and the Yankees. There were lots of big home runs. There were some tense moments and pitching changes that made a difference. There were guys tossed. Oh my gosh, if you have not seen the video or even heard the audio of Brett Gardner attacking the ceiling of the dugout with his bat, which apparently is against the rules in Major League Baseball. No, it's not. But this umpire took exception on Saturday. Yeah, if you have not seen the photo, in fact, Chris, if you want to try to find it, either the video and the photo, both, whatever, on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. But you first had Aaron Boone tossed out for arguing balls and strikes from the dugout. Fine. Okay. Then Brett Gardner takes his bat. He's got his bat vertical, and he's jamming it, and I mean hard, making an awful ruckus into the roof of the dugout until the umpire comes over and ejects him too. He did leave multiple marks. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of a house that I used to live in maybe 15 years ago, and the guys upstairs were so freaking loud. And it would always happen when I was just trying to go to sleep. And I'm a night owl, for heaven's sakes. And they're so loud. I would take my broom and I would bang on the ceiling with the broom handle. You know, like holding it vertical and like jamming it up and down. Like you're churning butter, except you're using a broom handle. Anyway, if you have not seen the photo, it's now on our Twitter, After Hours CBS. It's pretty incredible. And so he gets thrown out for that. So there's all kinds of twists and turns and fascinating moments from this series. But certainly it was tense when Aroldis Chapman came in for the save on Friday night. So I enjoyed being there. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio, John Sterling on the Yankees Radio Network. So some key news for the pitching staff of the Indians. So we'll get to that momentarily. But can I tell you, this is typical Amy Lawrence. I can't help it, though. A couple of things that I was so psyched about that had nothing to do with baseball on Friday. When I got to Yankee Stadium, I was there in time for Indians BP. So I was on the field watching the Indians take batting practice. And, well, Franmil Reyes and Carlos Santana going back-to-back in BP, wowzers, that is fire. Just pretty incredible to see the number of baseballs that were flying out of the stadium. That was awesome. And then Francisco Lindor runs by me to go out and shag balls in the outfield just to warm up. You guys, he is tiny. And I do not mean that as an insult. He's amazing at what he does. Really good, both defensively and, of course, offensively. But the guy is smaller than me. He is little, and he's got a baby face. I thought it was someone's kid going out in a uniform, just, you know, dressed up and going out in a uniform to hang out during batting practice. No, it was actually Frankie Lindor. Pretty amazing. When you see these guys up close, either they're gigantic, like Yasiel Puig, Aaron Judge, gigantic in different ways. Frankie Lindor, nope. You can understand why he's so mobile and so flexible out there at shortstop. Anyway, so that was one thing. And then we get into the game, and wouldn't you know, they do this whole segment up on the video board called Name That Tune. It was the Backstreet Boys. And so they have all the Yankees, most of whom are in their early to mid-20s. Including Aaron Judge and some of the others. And they're asking them to name that tune. And so they put the montage together, which is pretty funny because like the first four guys that they asked said NSYNC. It was I Want It That Way. And the first four guys they had on camera all said NSYNC. Then one of them says, is this 98 degrees? And so then they start getting into the guys who actually know that it's Backstreet Boys or who guess that it's Backstreet Boys. I'm pretty sure it was, oh, I think it was Didi Gregorius who started singing it and was singing it on tune. And then one of the other guys says, I'm really embarrassed that I know this, but this is the Backstreet Boys. I want it that way. But here's the big thing that got me all fired up. Two members of the Backstreet Boys were there at Yankee Stadium. Yeah. So not only was it Name That Tune, a song that I knew, of course, because the 90s are back, but also Brian Littrell and AJ McLean were there at Yankee Stadium. So in the press box, I cheered for that. You're not supposed to cheer in the press box, but I cheered for that. I'm trying to think what else was really cool. They did 80s music in the eighth inning, which was fun. So all kinds of throwbacks to the 80s and 90s these days. And also both sets of iconic Star Wars themes during introductions. So you had the Evil Empire, the Darth Vader music for the introductions of the Indians, and then the music for the rebellion and you know, the light side, as we call it. So that was cool. It was a fun atmosphere to be at, and it was definitely not as hot and humid on Friday evening as it was on Saturday and Sunday. Whew. Atmosphere that kind of just saps your energy and your strength, so you can understand why the pitchers didn't go as deep into the game on Sunday. Now, talking about pitchers, couple of big pieces of news from big-time pitching staffs in the American League. And for the Indians, they'd really been hoping to get the services of Corey Kluber pretty quickly, maybe before the end of August. But he got pulled from a minor league start after one inning with some abdominal tightness. Now, you can take of that what you will. The team is not going to give us the extent of the injury, at least for now. And they say that he was taken out of this AAA start in Charlotte for precautionary reasons. This was his third start as he tries to come back from that broken arm that he suffered on May 1st. So he was scheduled to spend Monday in Cleveland. That's an off day for the Indians. And then he's scheduled to rejoin the team in New York because the Indians are now taking on the Mets. So that's kind of this is their New York week. It's the next thing on the horizon for them. The team hasn't indicated whether or not this is a major setback or whether or not he's going to be able to rejoin the team on schedule. But I can imagine that that would be something that would really catch the attention of Indians fans for sure. Now, they're still right there in the thick of things, 2.5 back of the Twins, mid-August, plenty of time. But man, they're doing all of this, kind of a patchwork rotation. Carlos Carrasco, too, has been cleared for baseball activities. He's been pitching simulated games and even pitching a little bit off a mound. And so it's kind of good that he is working back into baseball shape and just being able to participate in baseball at all as he goes through this battle against leukemia. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's our toll-free line, and we'd love to hear from you. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. A lot of you weighing in with our Antonio Brown poll. And in addition to that, now you're telling us who you want to take with your first pick in your fantasy draft. Whether you're overall number one or you're not, don't you guys load up your queue? That's what I do. We load up the queue with all kinds of players that we covet on our fantasy roster. And if you missed my conversation with Greg Ehrenberg of DraftKings, he was here in our first hour. I totally admitted I'm the person who caves and chooses a quarterback in the third round. Even though you're not supposed to do that, you're supposed to wait. You're supposed to get all your running backs, your tight ends, your wide receivers, and then you're supposed to get a quarterback. But I never do. I always cave and jump too early. I'm the person that false starts on the fantasy football draft when it comes to quarterbacks. All right, it's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Here's the other injury that came out of the American League. The World Series champs are putting Chris Sale on the injured list because of inflammation in his left elbow. According to team officials, he didn't feel anything with this elbow during his start on Tuesday, but he was stiff on Wednesday and Thursday, finally told the training staff on Friday when it didn't get better. Had an MRI on Saturday, and here's the scary part. They're actually getting a second opinion from Dr. James Andrews. Uh-oh. When Dr. James Andrews is involved, then it's serious. And so Chris Sale, as the ace of the Red Sox staff, granted their pitching staff has been a mess this year, not just the rotation, but the bullpen's been worse. But they're still technically in the race. They were able to sweep the series with the Baltimore Orioles, who doesn't. And even though in the American League East, they're now 16 games back of the Yankees. That's more credit to the Yankees than it is to the Red Sox. The Red Sox have won 5 in a row. The issue is the Yankees are setting a torrid pace in the division. But in the wild card, they're 6.5 out. Again, they've won 5 straight. They've won 7 of their last 10. It's just that the teams ahead of them are also playing extremely well. The Indians, the Rays continue to impress me. I mean, how many people could name even 5 guys in the Rays starting lineup? Oakland is right there in the mix, 1.5 out, and then the Red Sox are the next team in that American League wildcard race. If you're wondering about the National League, this one's still nutso. The Nationals up by 1.5 over the Cubs. So the Cubs have kind of gone back and forth in first place with the St. Louis Cardinals. But right now they're in that wild card spot. The Brewers, the Phillies, and the Mets all have the same record. 64-60. So they're all 2 games out of that second wild card. I don't know, though. The more that I watch the Nationals and the more that I see of them, the more I think, the NL East could turn into a much tighter race before this is all said and done. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Again, check out our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. If you want to see what Brett Gardner did to the top of the Yankees dugout and then got chucked out for it. I feel like this might be one of those unwritten rules, like Ty goes to the runner. That's not actually a rule. Ty doesn't actually go to the runner. That's just something we made up in baseball. Unwritten rules like you don't walk over the pitcher's mound. That's also not in the rule book. If you are a position player, anyone other than the actual pitcher, you're not supposed to walk over the mound. It's completely disrespectful. It's all about convention and tradition in Major League Baseball. All right, so if you're talking about Antonio Brown of fantasy football, which appears to be what most people are talking about right now on our Twitter or our Facebook. We'll get to some of your comments coming up. But I do like this one from Mike, A-Law Radio. Antonio Brown should be part of your hashtag Man Crush Monday because a lot of people in Oakland want to crush that man. I don't think that's what it means. But I do think you're right. This is the guy who brought a film crew on a hot air balloon for the benefit of Hard Knocks. Is this all just for TV? It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.